Am I on, Ray? Yep, good. It is. He has risen. He has risen indeed. What more do I need to say? Have a good day. Because it is true. Stephanie did. Stephanie said a lot in what she presented this morning and the call to worship. And, I mean, it's so true of what she said, how we constantly, and religions constantly, try to appease their maker and knowing who that maker is. Only Christianity, we know the maker, and we know that it's already appeased. And that's just amazing. It's amazing. So last time I spoke, we talked about strongholds. We talked about the strongholds in your life that grab you and hold you down. Whether it be self-rejection, self-pity, some addiction to anything. It could be to work. It could be to coffee, to drugs, you know. It can be to a lot of different things. The strongholds in our life that the enemy tries to keep it down. I mentioned something about, we're going to talk about the strongest stronghold today. And that's what we're going to talk about. Continuing on with Stephanie, in verse 12 of Romans 5, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all have sinned. What is that stronghold? What is that final stronghold? The one that grabs us all is death itself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created life. He created life and he created man that he may live with man forever. But man sinned. Man ate of the apple. And man said, I want it my way. We've all said it. We've all said it. We want it our way, not God's way. And what did that bring? The ground was cursed. By the sweat you will produce your fruit. And they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, lest they eat of the fruit that would make them live forever. Why? Because if they ate that fruit, they would be separated from eternity from God himself. Just as Satan and the angels that had fallen and had sinned are separated from God for all eternity, we would have been too. There are three deaths that this stronghold is. And that first one I'm talking about here is spiritual death. Because we were one with God. We knew God's heart. We knew God's heartbeat. We knew what he wanted. We talked to him in the garden, Adam and Eve. We had perfect peace with him. That first death was a spiritual death. In our bodies, our spirit and mind and soul are one. But that spirit, the spiritual side of us, died with that. With sin, we were dead to God. We were separated. Death is separation from him who created us. The only hope we had in that was death itself of the physical body. Because sin had entered, now we had to die in order to live. It does not make sense. For a spiritual death combined with a physical death without knowing Christ, without knowing God, would result in eternal death, separation from God. That is the second death talked about in Revelations. When the judgment comes and the men or women are judged accordingly and separated, and those that do not know him are separated and cast into the fiery depths of hell, forever separated from God. This time in between is the time that our spiritual death from our sin and our physical death come in line, that we may know Christ, that the spiritual may waken up in our hearts and our minds and our souls and know the Creator. It is a time that we get to enjoy what he did and learn who he is and what he's done in our lives. I'm not sure where all he's going with this today, because I didn't ever get any clear pictures. But I do know that he wants us to have that life. So what did he do? He set out then from the beginning of time, because it says that the Word was with God and the Word was God and he was with God in the beginning. Christ himself was at that creation. Christ himself knew of these deaths that we would have, that we would be both separated physically and separated spiritually from God. And the plan was already in place to redeem that time, to redeem it. He says in Jeremiah, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will not be a covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them out of the land of Egypt, but a covenant that I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Christ in us, the hope and glory. Christ saw that. Christ knew, as God himself, but separated from God because he is the Son of Man, saw what was entailed. From the very beginning of time, he saw what was on his path. When he was born in a cradle in Christmas, he saw the cross in a distant fog. He marched towards that, knowing what the fulfillment of this week of Easter would be. He knew that the hallelujahs and the praises at the beginning of the week were just all hollow. Men wrapped up in themselves, men being affected by just their surroundings, hoping for a heaven here on earth, hoping for a kingdom, getting rid of the Romans. Little they know what was going to happen just a week later as it marched through. Perfectly timed, as God always does, with the seasons, with what's going on in the physical, to represent that spiritual. The time of Passover, the time of the Passover lamb that was slain for the covering of sins. He laid it all out. He laid it all out in Egypt. He wrote it all down for everyone to see his plan. But yet we're blinded to it. The disciples were blinded to it. And there he marched. He marched whipping, beaten, bruised, put before Pilate. "What accusing do we have of you? I see nothing you've done." But yet he was silent. As it says in the scripture, he was silent as the accusers accused him. He stood silent before them. He never denied it. When they asked him, "Pilate, are you king of the Jews?" He said, "You have said it. You are correct." When they throw the sign up there, it says, "King of the Jews," above the cross. The Pharisees and those in authority say, "Just put, he claimed that he was king of the Jews." Pilate said, "I put what I put," because he understood it. Apart from the Jewish people, he understood it. God told him, revealed that to him. I don't know where he is now. I don't know if he accepted it or not. But it was there all the time. Through that time, through the insults, he saw what laid on the other side. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the suffering, the pain, the agony, the insults as he was hurled up on that cross. It's not pleasant. Spikes thrown between your forearms so that you wouldn't fall. Your weight wearing down upon you so you can't breathe. He was beaten and flogged, so he had ascites, which is just fluid in the belly, which even takes up more lung space, which makes it harder to breathe. But yet he endured it. He endured it. And at noon, darkness fell upon the earth. Death came to earth in that area. Because we knew what would happen. For when he died, the sun broke out. He proclaimed, "It is finished." But the cool thing is, that's not the climax. The climax is not that he died on the cross. The climax is 3 days later, when he rose from the grave and the stronghold of death in our lives were shattered forever. We are no longer held to the grave. We are no longer held to this world, but we are with him in eternity. It is not the end. It was the mere beginning of what he had in store for each and every one of us. How can this be? It's because we live in a finite time period. God is infinite. God has no time. So if you think of a ball, you think of this sphere, you think of going around the equator or around the center of the sphere, as time itself, from the beginning of time, we're moving around this ball to the end of time at the end. Not sure where we are on this equator, but we're walking around it. And all of history has occurred. Christ's death on the cross, the disciples going out, the Crusades, World War I, World War II are all on this timetable. And as you're walking around the equator of the time, all you see is what is before you. You remember what is behind you. So we can't see Christ's death. But God himself is outside of time. You can imagine God standing on the North Pole or on the very top. He looks down. He sees all time at one point. So when he sees you walking, when he sees you sin, he doesn't see you. He sees Christ on the cross. He sees the Son dead, covering the sins that are impaling you, that are holding you back, that are keeping you from knowing who he truly is. His biggest desire is for him to know you now. So know him now so you can enjoy him forever. Just know him. Just know him. We are just amazed at what he did. I think Philippians 2 sums it up. It's a short sermon today. We have Easter lunches. And what more can we say, you know, than that the stronghold of death no longer has a hold on us? The thing, death itself, is what holds us back from so much. It holds us back from talking to people, because it's fear of rejection, but it's fear of death. The fear of death is no longer here. Philippians 2, and just God, Christ's mindset in this whole thing, was Christ's mindset, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Why? Because therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lamb of God seated on the throne. Why is he seated? Because the work is finished. There is no more work to be done. It is finished. We are saved. And hallelujah, he has set us free. Hallelujah, we are his forever. He is risen, and forever we are his. Amen.